Secularists are not content to live and let live. They're not satisfied with pluralism and the exchange of ideas. They seek not just to be equal, but to dominate. So writes Dr. Erwin Lutzer in his new book, which is a very important book, called We Will Not Be Silenced. Welcome to this particular portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Dr. Lutzer, it's a pleasure and privilege to have you back on. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jerry. God bless you.
Sure. Let's begin with that very quote from your book. Secularists are not content to live and let live. Instead, they want to dominate. Comment on that.
Well, you know, I wrote the book, We Will Not Be Silenced, when I began to realize that the radical left does not believe that America can be fixed. It has to be destroyed, and it has to be rebuilt on an entirely different quasi-Marxist foundation. So in terms of the quote, what's happening is there's a struggle, of course, and we see this happening before our eyes, of power and a desire to dominate. And, you know, in the book, I apply Marxism, and I show how it's applied to our history, the vilification of our monuments, the attack against our Judeo-Christian values, how it's applied to race, and how it's applied to freedom of speech and all the other issues. Now, in response to your question, though, Jerry, the whole point of Marxism, let's talk about race for a moment, is to put people into categories of either oppressed or oppressors. So what I meant by that statement was the desire is the oppressed would overcome the oppressors, and there has to be continual conflict. That's one of the reasons why the radical left is so incredibly intolerant. It is because they want everyone to understand that the revolution is not complete. There has to be continual conflict, and they are not ready to live and let live, like the quote says that you used.
Can you name one square inch on this planet where Marxism has actually resulted in positive results, positive civilization building? Can you name anywhere on Earth where Marxism has been a good force?
No, Marxism has never been a good force because it is a total misreading of human nature. Marx believed that there was the oppressed and the oppressors, so that's why he believed that the family had to be destroyed, because it was a unit of oppression. Men oppressed their wives, parents oppressed their children. The children were taken to church, and God was the ultimate oppressor. So when you have a philosophy like that, it not only destroys human dignity, it destroys the family, and of course it destroys the economy. You know, in the book that we're talking about, I have a chapter on socialism where I talk about socialists always talk about how to divide the wealth. They never talk about how wealth can be created, because in a communist, Marxist, socialist country, wealth cannot be created. It can only be distributed. So let's suppose you have a pie and you divide it up very equally so that you have income equality. And when the pie is done, There are no more pies. Only the government can make another pie by creating more money. So socialism stifles all freedom, freedom of speech eventually, freedom of religion, because the state takes over the role of God and religion. What it does is it stifles initiative, and it is thoroughly and totally unbiblical. So why do we think it should work? God didn't even treat everyone alike. He didn't treat Hammurabi the way he did Abraham. And Jesus told a parable in which a man was given 10 talents, another 5, 3, 2, 1, and they were equally responsible for what they had. But this quest for equality is so wrong-headed, it destroys everything. So does Marxism ever work? No. But it is being taught to people who have this idea of some kind of a paradise that it will someday bring about. Well, just look at China and Russia and other countries.
Has Marxism in any ways infected the church?
Yes, it has. It has through social justice. In my book, and we're talking about the book We Will Not Be Silenced, I point out that there's a difference between biblical justice, which the Bible has a lot to say about, and social justice. Social justice theories are also based on a Marxist view of equality. There has to be equality of income, equality of health care, but also marriage equality, which is same-sex marriage, reproductive equality, which is abortion. So it takes all of these words, and social justice, as it is taught in the university, is not intended to bring the races together. I show its intention is to keep them in perpetual conflict. And as I mentioned before, eventually the oppressed will overcome the oppressors, and then you will finally have this Marxist paradise. So the point to be made is, has it infiltrated the church? Absolutely. And it does it by classifying us with oppression, white privilege, and so forth. Now, Christianity is very different. Christianity says that the differences between us are not that great. We are all sinners. We all meet at the foot of the cross. And after we've done that, we ask, how can we work together to make things better? To put it very clearly, Jerry, I show this in the book, that the real issue that Christianity believes is that we don't have a skin problem. We have a sin problem. And that's the issue that needs to be dealt with. So social justice, as it is often in many evangelical churches, keeps tearing apart what Jesus Christ died to bring together.
Wow. What is biblical justice in contrast?
Oh, biblical justice has to do with equality before the law. It has to do with helping the poor. It has to do with speaking on behalf of those who can't speak. But if you look at biblical justice, it never puts people into Marxist categories. It never says, well, now all the certain group, you are all the oppressors, and the oppressed has to fight against you. It is always individualistic. And that's the problem with Marxism. It loses sight of the individual. The individual is lost, because what really happens is there's classism. And it depends what class and what group and the color of your skin as to how you are to be judged. Biblical justice always judges individuals on the basis of their actions. There is no labeling of one group over against another.
When Martin Luther King Jr. Delivered his famous message, you know, I have a dream, as I recall, August 28, 1963, you know, at the Lincoln Memorial, huge, huge speech. I mean, an important speech, one of the most important speeches in American history. But he talked about, I look forward to the day when people will be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. He's not espousing any kind of Marxism. He's espousing biblical Christianity applied to the issue of race relations, right?
Absolutely. And social justice today is totally opposed to that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they embraced that? That's a Christian ideal where individualism matters. But social justice today, which is basically, Marxist in character, it does not believe that at all. You are to be judged by the color of your skin, regardless of the content of your character.
Would you comment on cancel culture? And is that another example of Marxism? And certainly Christians are being canceled as much as they can in so-called cancel culture.
Absolutely. In my book, I discuss collective demonization. Collective demonization was perfected by the Russians. Once the government canceled you, everybody had to chime in. In Nazi Germany, and you know, Jerry, I wrote a book about Nazi Germany. In Nazi Germany, there were churches that would put a swastika on the door of their church saying, you know, when you come for Christians, don't come for us, because we have virtue signaled that we're a part of you. So today what's happening? Somebody is canceled, and everyone else has to chime in to show that you are supporting the cancel culture. And that's what's happening. People are being deplatformed, as you and I well know. Mm-hmm. And all that is happening because what happens is Marxism always has to march in solidarity. So one person doesn't like what you say. Everybody connected to the elite has to agree and also cancel that person.
But let God be true and every man a liar, says Paul.
Exactly, and we could say so much about that, but the fact is that what we need to do as Christians is to stand strong and to take the consequences. That's a whole separate discussion, but there is no longer any place to hide, Jerry. Yeah. We have to declare ourselves, and we have to take the consequences.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of a phrase. There's a very strong Catholic believer in Jesus at Princeton, Dr. Robert George. And I remember he said about 5 years ago, I don't even remember what the particular incident was, the catalyst event, but he said the days of comfortable Christianity are over. It might have been the same-sex marriage decision from the Supreme Court. But I think that's a very true point, that we have to be faithful to Christ in this particular context that the Lord has called us to be in. Who would have thought, you know, 20 years ago we'd see all these negative changes and happening so quickly?
And you know what there is, when we talk about these things and, you know, the man that you referred to 5 years ago, people say, well, it can't happen here. Are you acquainted with the law of merited impossibility? It can't happen here, but when it does, you bigots deserve it.
Mm. Well, you could even see, I mean, recently Rush Limbaugh has died. And on the one hand, I've seen, you know, all kinds of different wonderful tributes, you know, of praise. I mean, here's a guy that single-handedly saved AM radio and so forth. And then on the other hand, you would have thought, wow, Attila the Hun died or something. And there's just all these vicious statements that, you know, would dishonor anybody that is dead. I mean, it's just very interesting reactions.
Yes, and there were some things that Rush said that I don't think he should have said. So the leftist media will focus on those who are conservatives. You know, we think in terms of his defense of American values, the value of free speech, the value of free enterprise, and so forth. So what we need to do, Jerry, is to realize that as a church, we need to speak about these issues. But as you and I know, we always have to point people to the gospel, because ultimately what we desire is that people come to faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot make America into a Christian nation from the top down. We have to make America into a nation with Christians, and that's really our calling. So we speak about these issues, but at the end of the day, it's always the gospel of Jesus Christ that really matters.
Do you think Christians should rethink the issue of sending their children to public schools? We have about 45 seconds left.
Oh, absolutely. God is going to hold you accountable for the way in which you teach your children, for what they learn. And we could go into that, the sexualization of children today, transgenderism, destroying them. If they have to go to a secular school, when they come home, spend time, help them to understand the truth and deprogram them, because that's where it's leading. And if you can, of course, seek alternatives.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, again, the name of his book is We Will Not Be Silenced. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you and all the best.
Thanks, Jerry.